Everybody for coming here, and I just want to say before we get started, let's see, has much happened in the last month? I mean, what a month. It was a privilege to be part of the planning meeting and hear the preparation. For those of y'all that probably everybody remembers, where were you when you heard the evacuation order? I was driving to the town meeting and heard that on the radio, and I figured it was going to get interesting, and it did. But I think our town was well prepared, but as we have talked about by text and email, there's always a chance to look and learn lessons and continuous improvement, and that's what the town of Mount Pleasant's all about. So before we get started, we will approve the minutes from the September meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All approved? All in favor?
Aye.
To approve? Thank you. Public comments. Anybody from the general public want to make a comment? All right, there being none, we will move on to item number 3, employee years of service recognition. I'll turn that over to Joe.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, it's my pleasure today to be able to recognize one of our outstanding employees for 10 years of service. Richard Galvin, would you come forward, please? Richard started with us 10 years ago. Come on, turn around this way and face them, please. 10 years ago as a waste manager collector. And we told Richard when he started, I said, you know, if you want to progress, one thing you really need to do is get a commercial driver's license. And sure enough, a very short time later, Richard obtained his commercial driver's license. And now he's become what we call a waste manager vehicle operator, crew leader. And why is a crew leader? Because he runs a garbage truck. And he has a crew on the back of that truck. Well, he's a special, I'll say, individual here because he runs what we call a side loader. And a side loader is actually a very tough vehicle to operate because he actually is two guys. The operator of the truck is actually striking cans at the same time as his helper is striking cans on the other side. So he's doing two things. He's driving the truck and he's pulling cans. However, there's a lot of times when Richard is a one-man show. He's operating the truck by himself. He's pulling cans, driving the truck. He didn't have the help of the striker on the other side. So he's working both sides of the street. So he's a very impressive guy. And I want to say thank you for Richard for all years of service. He's very dependable, and Dave depends on him also. He volunteers for extra work and extra time. There's one thing about Richard. This guy never has a bad day. He always has a smile on his face. Wherever you see him, he always has a smile on his face. Richard, thank you for 10 years of service.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I think Mark got
the picture.
That
was
good.
Give you a hug.
Jake, there you go. Get you some of that. Get you some of that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Joe, you wasn't afraid to get on and give you a hug?
Jerry's got a new assessment.
Appreciate that. All right, moving on to item number 4, review of Hurricane Matthew response. I appreciate the staff doing this. I know there's been a lot to do, but hopefully we're out of hurricane season for the year. Cross your fingers, you never know. There have been November hurricanes in the past. They haven't hit here, but there have been. I appreciate you doing that. I think this is a good time to look at what we can do. And this is not really, I want to let everybody know, this is not to evaluate our staff. This is so council can see what we might need to do to equip, train, or empower our staff to be prepared or to respond afterwards. So we look forward to your feedback. So I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, good morning. We built this presentation coming your way in several different pieces. And I get a few opening comments, sort of set the stage with it. Mr. Peel and Andy will talk about preparation and execution, and I know Chief Ritchie and Chief Williams are here as well to do the same thing. And then we'll give you a full update on debris removal. And then I have a couple comments after that, if there is time for it and if you'll allow it. But as you had mentioned, sir, I know you and Mr. Santos were here during the storm prep meeting that we called just before, I think, the evacuation order. And that's when we bring together our senior staff and discuss some of the early expectations, sort of the game plan of what we're going to do. First thing I do is remind staff of our calling to public service. and what that means, and that we will spend as much time as it takes to protect the community, the citizens, and their property. And so, and that includes the employees that have to evacuate, they're allowed to evacuate and leave. That sets out the expectations from when they are to return. And then we start getting into the storm, and we usually plan for one impact larger than what we expect, given the uncertainty of what usually comes our way. And so if it's a Category 2, we plan for a Category 3, and then we expect, you know, the things that go along with that, the heavy wind, the flooding, heavy tree damage, loss of electricity, although that didn't turn out too bad for the community, and structure damage. And then we separate the planning into three categories, very simply, before the event, during the event, and after the event. And then we go ahead and we spend considerable time positioning manpower and resources in geographic areas around the community so that they can respond. A lot of effort, resources, money are spent equipping and providing the resources for the manpower and the equipment in the field. And the way it works for us is each area in the field operates as its own sort of incident command. And they have their own incident command structure. And what we do in the MEOC, the EOC over here, is we kind of provide the broad organizational response to it. That means we monitor it, support the event, handle the communications internally and externally into other agencies. And usually during an intense storm, although it happened rarely this time, we usually hold in place if it's very severe. And because we just can't be risking our personnel during an intense storm if someone's in trouble. And at the storm, when it comes through, after it's over, we do our structure assessments, our rescues, our cleanup, clearing of the roadways, and things like that, and we do our best to try to keep you up to speed and informed as best as possible during the event, because there are situations where it didn't happen this time, where they need some new ordinances, some council action as a result of the event. The beauty of it is that a lot of the resources and equipment and manpower in place you have already allowed for us to have before we get to the storm. And so you equip us quite well. So that's kind of the preliminary stuff, the baseline for it. And as far as the preparation and execution, Joey?
Thank you. Well, I'm going to turn this part over to Andy, and then I'll handle where we are with debris removal and the cleanup. But before I get started, I'd like to point out several key individuals, employees that are in this room today, and they had a vital part in where we are, how we handled the storm and where we are today. I'd like to say Darren's, please stand, Edward Weston, Billy Crocker, I don't see Billy, Billy's not here, Angela, she just changed names, Davis, and we have a new one in here, Jane Lacy. And Jane is new, and she stepped right in. She'd only been here a couple of weeks, and she stepped right in, and she learned a lot in a very short period of time. So I'd like to recognize her, and I don't want to forget Hillary, and I don't want to forget Ken Rye. I'm not sure if Ken's here or not, but they all played a vital part in our success of how this storm and how we worked this storm. So I'm going to turn it over to Andy, and then after I think the police and fire get through with theirs, then I'll come back and show you where we are with the recovery process. Thank you.
Gentlemen, list 3 October to 2 be determined for the hurricane dates, because we started planning Monday, and you know, all the pieces had to start getting in place, and we're still going, and we're probably going to still go for several more weeks, if not months. So this is a big event for us, maybe even more so than other departments because of all the cleanup. What we did, I broke the brief down into just a few slides covering preparation, and then actions during the event, and then recovery. So for preparation, we try to secure all town facilities and then checking all the stormwater infrastructure. We know there's going to be a lot of water, and we got to try to keep it from flooding. So we're clearing grates, we're checking boxes, doing whatever we can to ensure that the infrastructure works the way it's supposed to do. We also ran all waste management routes. This was kind of a big deal, and it was a lot of coordination at the landfill to make sure they stayed open even though everybody was ordered to evacuate. And landfill stayed open, and we were able to complete all routes Monday through Thursday in order to get all the debris out of the houses and off the street prior to the storm, so we didn't have any loose projectiles. Then we also focused on trying to get our people home so they could take care of their families, prep their properties, and, you know, prep themselves, because we knew we were going to need them. The way we did it, we broke the town into three zones, and we had a north, central, and south zone. The south zone worked out of Moultrie Middle School, the central zone worked out of James B. Edwards, and then the north zone worked out of Wando High School. Public Services had 60 people dedicated full-time to the effort for the 24-hour operation, and we worked 12 on, 12 off, with about a 30-minute shift change in between. And we broke it into three zones of 17 people per, with a zone commander being one of our division heads, two foremen, so there was a foreman per shift, and then there was 14 other people working on that. And with that, we ran eight pickups per zone, so there was four on at any given time, and we staged heavy equipment with scows and either backhoes or front-end loaders in order to help with any debris removal. We then had six in the MEOC, which included Jody, myself, Hillary, and the assistant stormwater manager, and then by billet, two CSRs, although our executive office manager covered down on one of those. And then we also had three people in support. We had two basically of our maintenance specialists who could fix just about anything, and then a custodial support for the EOC here. All right.
Too far.
Sorry. I'm not a technologically superior brain. There we go. All right, during the storm, the MEOC did command and control of all the forces in zone. As information was called in, we would relay it to the zones, and they would take action on it. We would do the coordination with the police, because not all the information came through public services, came from residents calling police out there, fire department out there, and everything. So we did the coordination on the public service side. The numbers here depicted on the slide show what was called into the EOC or the MEOC. So you had 90 flooding calls, 188 fallen trees and limbs, and 19 down power lines. Those are probably the big ones. And then there was some other miscellaneous damage. Our forces that were operating out of the schools were patrolling 24/7. Like I said, we had people out there that could respond to things as it was called in order to keep the roads open. So it really allowed us to stay ahead of the game and keep the flow. Keep the flow moving. With the recovery, we focus on evaluating the town facilities and then the infrastructure. That was our primary effort. And then it's trying to get a return to normalcy. And with that, you know, we started collecting garbage on Monday, you know, immediately after the storm. And the way we did that was we tried to separate our waste management division, or at least the municipal solid waste guys, the guys running the garbage trucks, so they weren't on during the storm. They came on immediately following, so we could get rid of any spoiled food or anything if power went out. And you know, it gave the community a sense of normalcy where, okay, hey, the garbage is still running, all is well. We also focused on opening the rec facilities. And by Tuesday, we had some of them open. The way the Public Service Department went about it, it was, we focused on trying on cleaning one facility and making it useful all the way instead of, you know, doing bits and pieces here and there. And that allowed us to open the facilities pretty quick. It took us a week to get the Jones Center open because we focused on everything else and we had to get Children's Day going. Again, it's a return to normalcy event. And Children's Day was held without a hitch, really, at least from public service perspective, getting Park West open and everything set up. Other things we're doing during the recovery is tracking all of the equipment, the material, personnel for potential FEMA reimbursement down the road, which is important because there's a lot of information they require. So we've had to track that. And then moving on to the repair and the coordination for the repair and maintenance of all the damage that was done. As of last Wednesday, we had completed 85 inspections. And it basically generated, I won't read the numbers to you, but the work orders here on the slide. There's a lot of work that comes out of this storm, and this was just what was depicted as of last Wednesday. And we continue to do assessments. There's an example of the trail at Park West, or at Patriots Point, that isn't even captured here, and there's over 111 trees damaged or down on that trail. So it's going to be a continuous process for us. I'm going to touch on the recovery, but Jody will go more into detail on the debris management. But this kind of shows some of the effort that was put in here within Mount Pleasant. We started picking up debris on the 13th around schools, trying to get them back open and, you know, clearing a path for the kids to go to the schools on the 13th. On the 17th is when we started full-up debris removal. And this was a week after this storm passed. We felt it was important to give the townspeople a weekend to clean up, because a lot of them had evacuated, and had we started right away, we would have been hitting it multiple times. And this actually, I think, truly allowed us to get a lot off the street very quickly by giving them the opportunity to clean. It also allowed Charleston County to get the debris removal contract into place, get the forces here staged and ready to go, and allowed us to work through any issues with facilities that we'd be taking the debris to. As of Friday's, close of business Friday numbers, Ashford Environmental, which is the contract that the company that contracts with the county, had collected 48,530.8 cubic yards within Mount Pleasant. Our Mount Pleasant Public Services, over 14,000 cubic yards. City of Anderson and Anderson County, which came in last week to help us, or starting last week to help us, had gotten over 2,500. Greer, 100, or over 1,400. In total for Mount Pleasant as of Friday was 66,787.3 cubic yards of debris. The rest of Charleston County, with Ashbritt doing the collection, had only gotten 68,650. So really, we're killing it as far as debris cleanup goes. And giving it something to compare to, in 2004, Hurricane Gaston, there were 68,000 cubic yards collected, and it took 4 weeks to do it. We did 66,000 in 12 days so far, but there's still quite a bit out there that needs to get done. And like I said, Jody will cover that in a little more detail here in a few minutes. Our challenge is everybody wants to get back to normal. I mean, the storm's passed and they're moving on, but we're, as I stated at the beginning, we're going to be dealing with this for weeks, if not months, as well as trying to do the normal day-to-day operations that everybody expects you to do. And that's something we're going to have to deal with, and the guys are working hard to do, but it is a challenge. If there's no questions, I guess that's my part of the brief, and I'll turn it over to Chief Ritchie.
Sure. I just want to say I saw a driver from Anderson, a nice shiny white truck, around town. I ran him down, stopped him, and thanked him for coming here to help us. At first, I think he was a little wary of why this guy was running him down, but it was really nice of them. Apparently, they sent their personnel to, I mean, they didn't just send equipment, they sent their personnel, and they stayed down here and ran their equipment, is that right?
Oh, yeah, same thing with the rear, Rock Hill, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We've actually changed out. Anderson County started a week ago, and they will be here for another week. Greer started a week ago, and those four from Greer, I've rotated. I have got four new guys in this morning from Greer. Anderson brought 12. Rock Hill's supposed to show up today with 8, and they'll stay for at least a week. And when I get into the rest of the presentation, I will tell you where I think we're going and what we need to planning on for the future. Okay.
So, I'll talk about this in a moment. For the police department, we started on the 3rd as well. We were already monitoring storms. We're trying to track it, see what's going on. We had alert stages, 3 different stages that we put our employees in. Stage 3 alert, we're telling them, potentially storm coming, take care of your family, take care of your home. Do what you need to do to be prepared to come to work. Stage 2, get you, pack your bags, get your stuff together, have your car ready to respond to the town if your supervisor calls, and give your supervisor a phone number so we can get you a moment's notice. And stage 1 for us is cars packed, you should already have your family taken care of, and you need to be sitting at home waiting for the call to get here. Well, we got to that point on the 5th, where I needed to get everybody in. And why I chose to bring everybody in on the 5th, once we got word that the interstate was going to be reversed, I had to make the decision to get all of our staff over here. I couldn't risk having our folks who don't live in Mount Pleasant be caught on the other side and not able to serve our community. So I got approximately 140 of our police department employees mustered together into this town on Wednesday. That day we went into, same as Public Works and Fire, we went to a 24-hour operation. When we stood up our MEOC, and this is our MEOC, and you see Public Works, Police, Fire, and our town government. We're all there working together. And what's so crucial about this, these are your decision makers that are in this room that can talk to one another across the room without having to go to the phone and find Jody through some of Public Works. Jody doesn't have to find me if he needs police assistance. We talk to each other, and then we can make things happen and get what our folks on the street need to get the job done. So not only do we have our officers that are being assigned to the MEOC, I have two that are assigned to Charleston County Emergency Management. They also are in 24-hour rotation, working 12-hour. It was important for us to have a presence at the county EOC so we can know what's going on, because what's going on there could affect us. Kept us in tune with what the governor was, some decisions they were making. We were able to discuss things like curfew when I was hearing that they were looking to do something countywide. So it gave me a chance to know what was going on so I could reach out to the other chiefs as needed. For the police department, our town is already broken up into 7 patrol districts. I'll be doing that on a daily basis. We'll have an officer assigned to each district that covers normal calls for service, and usually two supervisors and a command staff. Well, this particular event, we went ahead and still had our 7 districts, but now each district had anywhere from 6 to 8 patrol officers in that district with a supervisor in each district. That district was then broken down even more to where each officer was given a specific neighborhood, business section, and part of the roadway that they were responsible for. What I thought was so key on this, it gave our citizens that sense of security. They saw the police car. They knew their property was being watched over. They knew if they had questions, we could get them answered. And I will tell you, on the 7th, 2 days into this, we did have 2 folks out of Florida that decided they wanted to victimize our town. They tried to steal cars from Mount Pleasant Chevy and from the Mercedes dealership. They're in jail. Our guys were out patrolling these businesses, caught them in the act, and took them away. So I think that having that kind of staffing out there just shows that the town was on it. Not to mention, you know, we heard rumors of looting and home break-ins. It just didn't happen. Not as a result of the storm, because we were in these neighborhoods and we were making sure that folks were not victimizing our homes. Our traffic team. Our traffic team was specifically assigned to help with the evacuation once the governor made the announcement that there was going to be an evacuation going on and that they were reversing I-26. We already have, and we plan on this every year. We have a meeting with the state every year to talk about what is our role as Mount Pleasant. We already have specific intersections, key intersections that we're responsible for when a reversal happens, so we can get our folks out of town as efficiently and safely as can be. Fortunately, just with the reversal coming so early, a lot of folks kind of left in ways. We didn't have a mass exodus. But I got a lot of feedback from our citizens afterwards who saw our cruisers. Even though I was able to take away from some of the smaller intersections, but I kept us at the key intersections, I wanted our folks to see us on 526, to see us on 17, see us near the bridge. And again, it was just that reassured feeling PD's here to make sure that no one's taking advantage of it and that we can get out of town if we need to. During the storm, again, it was just normal operation for us out there patrolling. One of the things that I felt was important for us to do, people want information. They were thirsting for information. So I got my PIO. We decided to go out during the storm. And he's got the technology to live stream. So we were live streaming during the storm. And I'll tell you, we reached out to over 500,000 viewers. What's the numbers we got? Far as away as California, the West Coast to the East Coast, from folks who were anxious to see what was going on in their town. We couldn't get to every neighborhood. We tried to get through neighborhoods to give folks an idea of what the towns looked like, show some of the flooding that's still happening, that we still had issues. Don't rush back home yet. But it gave them a sense of connection. They could still feel like the town was here for them, and they kind of knew what was going on. I think they really appreciated it. And I wish some of Markell's still in here, but Markell Coates and my inspector, Chip Goodge, they continue this type of 24-hour media contact and putting things out on social media, through our websites, through our Twitter accounts, I think far better than any other jurisdiction could do. We were constantly putting information out and answering questions, so I applaud those two for keeping it going.
Chief, may I add, I counted up for somebody, and Eric, I shared this with you, that just in the 24 hours of the event itself, I counted 38 social media updates just from the police and 35 from the town. There were probably more. Those are the ones that I kept track of. That's phenomenal. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. I said it was a team effort between Martin's great folks out there. I look kind of good post-storm, if I get this thing moved here without messing up. Well, there you go. This is some of our, just post-storm, you know, our job post-storm is getting out and being the eyes out there to kind of feed back to the MEOC. And we got a tree down at this location. Jody's hearing it, they're writing it down, sending crews, deciding which trees need to be cut first. You know, obviously we're looking at the main the main arteries, we're looking at 17, the colons, we want to make sure that the roads are clear for emergency vehicles, then we can start getting our folks in. We're looking for down power lines, we're looking for any homes that may have damage. But it's just also to be able to see the citizens who are out in their driveways, in their front yards. We stopped and spoke to them, gave them assurance, again, here we are. And I can't tell you how many walked up to our officers in our cars, and things like this. This is on Coleman Boulevard right now. I think it's still up, I don't think they've taken it down yet. Thanking our first responders, these are just three of the many different comments we got back through our Twitter accounts. I'm sure the town has just as many thanking us for being here, being president, taking care of the town. Part of our job, obviously, is to help the public works and protecting them while they're cutting trees. They just can't get out in the middle of the highway without blue lights, and we're there helping out. Our guys weren't afraid to get their hands dirty and go ahead and start dragging limbs out the way as needed. And let's see, I should have gone back to the last picture. I don't know if you see this. Well, won't you make note of that? We tell our employees to show up to work with 3 days worth of food. Some can, some can't. This is what police, fire, and public works, we got together to make sure our folks were fed. So these are our trainees who can't go on the road yet. They're helping divide bread, lunch meat, breakfast food, so we can get out to our shelters where they're staying. Because Judy mentioned that, Andy mentioned that we were in three different areas, north, south, middle. And what he did mention is that we have officers assigned that and fire has folks assigned to that area. So we're all working together in those areas, sleeping, eating, and being with each other. So if part of the town gets cut off because of a tree, well, you've got police and fire and public works there that can get it cut, and we still respond. But I just thought that was key, so the amount of food we were moving through to feed not just police and fire, but every single employee that was working and couldn't be home to make sure we took care of them. All right, as we go forward, we got back to normal calls for service, dealing with things like we always do. Somebody's dog's barking, or things like that. We're handling that. But one of the key things we're doing now, and Joey and I actually talked Sundays, preparing as they start removing the debris from some of the main roads, like Mathis Ferry, they're going to need help from us. So we're prepared to sit behind their equipment to protect their men and women while they remove this debris. So just because the storm's over doesn't mean that we get to just go back to normal duties. When we came to work, just to let y'all know, that Wednesday, I did not stand down until Saturday afternoon. I let that day shift finally go home. So from Wednesday the 5th to about the 8th, my men and women, including myself, we never left here. The ones at the headquarters, we were on air mattresses, sleeping at headquarters, and being available. The ones out in the street were staying at the schools. So I have to commend not just my police, the fire, and public works, who left their families to be here and actually give the service. So great job on that point. I'll answer any questions, but this is a small part of what we did during the storm. So,
thank you, Chief.
Thank you all. Just like Jody and Chief Richard said, we work in three phases: before, during, and after the storm. Our normal operation is thought from 36, 18, and 9 hours. 36, we notify everybody, 18 and 9. But with the governor putting out the mandatory evacuation at 3 o'clock that Wednesday, which we had to get everybody in to work by 3 o'clock. So by 3 o'clock Wednesday, I had 104 personnel here on duty, in town, ready to go. And we operated with a two shift where we ran 12-hour shift, half the crew on, half of them down. And we are ordinary operation. We got seven different we operate in. We did the same thing. What made this different, though, we had a chief officer that ran in each one of those districts, which we had, and like Eric said earlier, we work as independent district itself, which coordinates through the EOC, with a chief officer and paramedic each one of them. So we had anywhere from 7 to 21 people, depends on the size of the district, 12 or 12 down. And also to piggyback on what Chief Richard said, we were in the same situation. We had people that were sleeping on air mattresses inside the station, which worked out well, which was a learning experience, but we came up with a plan where we were going to have a hurricane kit ready for these personnel. But what I think the best thing that happened with us as fire department we learned is working with police and public service basic to give out the same message information. Jody, myself, and Carl decided that what came out of the EOC came out that it gave one message so there wouldn't be any in a misunderstanding with our people in the street, and it worked well. We also worked from that Wednesday, we let our personnel go down that Saturday afternoon, the same thing that public work did, so we was on the same plane. In the EOC, we did the same thing, we had six people that worked 12-hour shifts. What made a difference this time, we had a paramedic also on each one of those shifts, just in case if something happened inside the EOC, we had the same kind of people there. After the storm, basically the same thing. Our biggest challenge was we assisted public service with down trees and power lines. Fortunately, we didn't have any major emergencies, that medical emergency that we had to operate. It wasn't anything out of the ordinary, it was very great after that. We had one guy that was stuck in the elevator for 8 hours, had to get him out. That was a major thing that we did. But we ended up getting him out of the elevator, so he was in there for about 8 hours.
Oh.
But we were able, that big
to me, that is a major emergency. I'm claustrophobic as a...
And that was the issue, but that's the only time we had to respond basically to something that was out there on there.
Wow.
But besides that, with the preparations, and also I think we have a once a year, our hurricane planning that we do as a town. So
right.
Basically what we put in place works because we had to put into action. And I can just on the piggyback and second what Carl and Jody said, it was truly a team effort, which we were grateful, and I'm really, really proud of not only the fire department, each one of the people that work for this town. Now, I would tell y'all, not only do we have the best workers, but we have the best people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes a difference. So I'm open for any questions, any comments.
If we could, gentlemen, Jody, you want to give a...
Get a little technical
question. It's scary you're asking me to be here.
That's what we need to do.
Well, let me start off by saying I'm proud to be a public servant. For the folks I work with in my department, to include the police and the fire, I believe we did one hell of a job. And we've done one hell of a job in a very short period of time. And I think you'll see this on this map today. One person I've left out is Gary Ponder. Gary has helped me tremendously also with debris management. And that's the ticket around here. Social media is a double-edged sword. I mean, it's good and bad. But I got some positive things out of it. One of them was, and the person had a legitimate, great suggestion. And I didn't think of it. I don't know why I didn't think of it. Clean around the sidewalks of schools so children can get to Mount Pleasant Academy, can get to Moultrie. It was simple, but it worked. So here I've got right here today is I've got a map, and it's going to show you where we are. Anybody wants to know what's been collected, what's been finished, where we need to go. This was updated on Friday. Some things have been completed over the weekend. So I'm going to have to bear with me on some of this map. The red area, we'll start off with the yellow. The yellow area is where crews are as of Friday of last week. Let's see if it worked. For example, this is Hopcall. Contractors in Hopcall. He's about halfway finished Hopcall. When he finishes Hopcall, he was going to go into Ion. But we took care of Ion on Saturday. It's done. At the same time, the town forces took care of the old park. It's done. And now today we're gradually moving to Heron Point, to Green Hill, Somerset Point, up to Point Pleasant. The Rock Hill crew, when they roll in, is going into Walkendall. They'll be in there for a while. The Anderson crew, this is all red I'm showing you over here, but the Anderson crew is going to head every subdivision off of Whipple Road. Now here, this is Wood Green, completed. They're in Shimwood too. And then they're going to hit the outroads off Russell Drive all the way up to Lazy Lane. What is it, Point Tall Pine? Up to that direction. Oak Haven was completed over the weekend. That group is moving to Seaside Farms, which is red right in here. They're moving to Seaside Farms. She's changed the map on me. This is Seaside Farms over here. And then the Ravens Run was completed over the weekend, so that's now going to be green.
So really, everything you see in green is what's been completed. Brickyard is in Brickyard, halfway through Brickyard. Charleston National, when it finishes Charleston National, it's about halfway finished Charleston National. Commonwealth, Darrell Creek. This is Wando Farms. We really collect any debris in Wando Farms and just collect garbage. So you can see, this is Snell. We don't do anything, that's county. The part that we really have not hit yet that we need to get to is Hopcock Creek Plantation, Bell Hall, Grassy Creek, Hidden Cove, and I believe we'll get there before the end of the week. I'm not going to wait for these contractors from the hurricane guys to get out of these subdivisions. They've been at State Farm for over 2 weeks. One guy, I mean, over 2 weeks. They're going to find the same thing when they get to Longhorn. So my staff, one thing, when we start in the subdivision, we knock it out. I was very impressed with Ion. Ion was a mess. And Ion, the hurricane chasers went to Ion and said, nope, we're not going in there. It was nope, the hell no, we're not going in there. Because it's an animal of itself. And it takes a special talent, and that's our guys. Mm-hmm. We knocked that iron on on Saturday. So that's in a nutshell of what we have. Some of the places you see in red throughout are apartment complexes. We do, on a regular basis, we'll support them when they have C&D material. So on this case, we're going to support them with vegetative material. So some of these areas you see in red throughout are apartment complexes. So your big areas in yellow will be addressed or are being addressed or are complete. The areas in red is what we have left to do. Okay, any questions on that?
Committee members, any questions?
Bill, Jim? Yeah, Jody, you know, first of all, I'm glad you're a public servant as well. I'm glad we've got gentlemen in here and ladies in here who are public servants. You represented this town very well. We are very fortunate to have you. We thank you. You guys have done a phenomenal job, not only cleaning up debris, but organizing Eric with staff, organizing our efforts to prepare and also to correct and find some normalcy at the earliest. You guys did a phenomenal job. My only concern is if there's a storm that's a greater magnitude, are we ready and prepared to handle it as well? My position is that I believe we are. It's going to take the same effort, same responsibilities. It may take a little longer. But you guys, I have heard nothing but praise. I know you guys get the complaints. We get the praise from what you do. And we just can't thank you enough. I mean, I would share some of it with you and share some of it with Eric and with the chief. And you guys just did a phenomenal job. And this town's very fortunate that you came together and you orchestrated. And it was an orchestration of beginning to end. And you're still continuing your efforts today. And so I just want to thank you personally.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I'd like to say one thing. And it's, you know, it's no matter where I start, I'm gonna get a complaint. Someone's got to be the one who finishes last. So that's why we tried to split this town up in six different zones to attack each zone. So we showed phase throughout Mount Pleasant, not just in one specific area. And I think that's worked for us. One other thing I'd like to say is our transfer yard at 6 Mile saved us. We're glad we had a transfer yard at 6 Mile. The debris that you saw Mr. Haney at 6 Mile is some of the debris. There is more debris, and I'd be more than happy to take you out to the fire training facility and show you where all of the debris is going.
See that. Yeah.
One thing we need to think in the future is when we plan for a hurricane, we need to have, and what's critical for Mount Pleasant is to have a disposal site, just a laydown yard. I don't care whether it's just ROC and the grass grows over it, you need to have it when the time comes. That is why our numbers are so high. Mm-hmm. You have a quick turnaround. If you don't have a quick turnaround, these haulers are going to go to another municipality. They make their money on drops. And if they have to haul for an hour, they're leaving. They're going someplace else where it's a quick drop. So we need to think that back and keep that in the back part of our mind when we're talking about what are we doing for the future for hurricane, even though it may come once in 10 years. Mm-hmm. You have it, it's a lifesaver.
Do you mean in addition to the 6 Mile?
In addition
to that.
Yep. Our 6 mile was maxed out. Capacity was just, we couldn't handle anymore. And also that now some of the debris from 6 mile, and you'll see that Andy and I are not going to be able to track our numbers anymore with 6 mile, because they're taking some of my debris and they're hauling out to the fire train facility. And I've got to do that, because now I've got to look at what am I going to do with getting back on schedule. Because I can't mix it. I got to keep the normal route schedule different than the storms and stuff.
Right.
And I was talking about earlier what my plan and hope is, hopefully, I'm not 100% sure yet, but I'm planning, is maybe I can get back on a route system starting Monday. Now, if I say Brickyard is part of my route on Monday, and the contractor's still in Brickyard, I'm not going for Brickyard. I'm going to do all the other areas that we've already hit and we've already cleaned to stay on schedule. But so that's where the phone's going to ring, is when, well, I know they're doing back on schedule, but they missed Brickyard totally. I want the contractor to get totally out of Brickyard, and then we come in and that's the other areas that we haven't completed.
Right.
Let's go around them and try to get back on schedule.
Jeff? I just wanted to ask a question. I know you said you plan one event more. If it's a one, you plan for two. So with this, what did y'all plan for originally?
A three.
Yeah. Okay. And with the money thought you would spend, where are we on that?
Don't know yet, sir. It's insignificant. Mm-hmm. We're preparing those reports now. You know, we also have the administrative piece that tracks, keeps records for reimbursement purposes with the federal government. Since it's all over the place right now, I can tell you a considerable amount of money has been spent. And then when we're ready, we have the number, we'll be sure to bring it to you.
Great.
Thank you.
I got two questions. Jody, on the pickup, I like the zone idea. Is there a priority assessment within the zone? I mean, do you look around and estimate it by volume? Do you estimate it by danger in terms of how much is piled up? Like in my neighborhood, people piled up their own debris. And in some cases, you had to go around it. And I started thinking there might be some neighborhoods where that could be a fire hazard or an emergency vehicle hazard or something. Or do we just start picking up, or do you have to try to do an assessment? Not that there's a right or wrong answer or anything. I was wondering how we do it.
We do a visual assessment. I know the old Mount Pleasant was hit harder. But what happens is, and it happened this time, is when these contractors come in that chase hurricanes, they come in with some enormous equipment.
Okay.
They couldn't service the old village. Because they were taking out tree limbs left and right. They were destroying their equipment. They were breaking it. Finally, the guy says, I give up. Either you move me somewhere else, or I'm leaving.
Right.
Who do you think addressed Mount Pleasant and the whole village? Public services forces.
Right.
We addressed it along with the help of Anderson.
Okay.
We were able to do it because our equipment is not as big and bulky. I'm not sure if you were in, I think Dave actually collected the other area I'm thinking about. But there are other there areas, if you've seen these trucks, there was a picture of them on one of our slides.
Mm-hmm.
Not small compared to what they have in some subdivisions. They actually have a logging truck with a knuckle boom, and they bring everything to the intersection and pile it up with bobcats. And that guy just sits there and picks up and loads it in trailer rigs. And these things are huge. Yeah. They're hauling probably 120, 140 cubic yards of material out of there, and it's a huge trailer rig. So now I've got to find out, I don't know what kind of equipment's coming. I got to see when it shows up.
Right.
And what I think would work in different areas. But then also, you know, I looked, okay, what can I cover and make the biggest bang so the general public knows I've been there and we can scratch that one off the list.
Right.
Well, we hit 41 north immediately because we knew most of that was a very light load until you got into some areas of Park West or Dunes West. There are some heavy areas with a lot of vegetation.
Right.
We were able to get those off the board. And then we started drifting back. But we looked at each area, each zone, and we would put them where we thought the heaviest part was. But then we try to either drift back south or we'd go up north with those zones to collect them. It's like Sneef Farm. I mean, Sneef, the guy's been Sneef Farm for 2 weeks. He's still in there. He's probably got two more, if not three more days in Sneef Farm before he leaves there.
Wow.
Sneef Farm was a mess.
Yeah.
If I could, sir.
Sure.
We started meeting as a leadership team, I believe it was Friday morning, kind of a post-storm, although the storm's not over yet, as far as the cleanup, to assess where we are in our progress and things that went well and things that didn't go so well. I'll let later Joey tell you his fondness for knuckleboom motors, which I've been working with Joey for a long time, and not sure I've heard him get so excited about a piece of equipment in a bad way, perhaps ever. But there were two things that I love the opportunity to talk about as we go forward. Maybe our annual retreat's a good spot to do it. But our people did a fine job. We're very lucky to have, as you said, Mr. People that are talented, have experience, and grit. Slight concern long term, especially in a larger disaster scenario, how much we rely on a lot of grit sometimes to get the job done. So if you were to pull out all the current personnel you have and put in other parts and pieces, I'm not sure we would have the same response. We rely on a lot of talent, experience, and grit. And so I want to talk to you more about that in the future. The other thing is citizen expectations are continuing to outpace our growth as a community. We talk a little bit about it in our demands for service and all of our operations at the town, how calls for service on public services, police, fire, you name it, are 10, 12, 15% increases a year. Of course, the population isn't growing that much. We noticed during the event, for example, an item that's risen to the top, there are many people in the community, many were very supportive, many expect a play-by-play of everything going on in the community, minute-by-minute type situation. We're not built for that, necessarily. Many expected, many were very understanding and supportive, many expected debris removal done more quickly. Not built for that. Thank God we had automatic aid agreements in place with our neighboring communities. It would take much longer. So I think that is something, reviewing department by department, where you decide the limits of government, where you feel expectations are reasonable and what our service delivery should be. Levels of service delivery department by department is something we probably need to take on going forward.
That's a question. Did we have any significant issues with either evacuating or caring for during and after the storm our older population? We've got the nursing homes, we've got a lot of older folks who have in-home care. That was something I was thinking about as I was watching people evacuate. I was wondering, I guess Chief, this might be your, both chiefs in the room, y'all might have gotten a lot of those calls, and as our population ages,
well,
it might be something we need to plan on.
Fortunately, and Chief Reeves will talk to us too, this is not something we wait and plan for during the storm. These assisted living facilities, nursing homes, they have to have plans in place with the evacuation plans they provide to both myself and Chief Reeves. Let us know, they already have contracts and bus services, so they handle that very well. And many of them did leave the area, had no problem leaving from my end. We had no issues, or there were no issues coming back. And the ones that did stay, the few that did stay, we were aware of them. We were able to reach out to them if need be, but no one needed any extraordinary services during the event. Chief, I don't know what you have.
Just to piggyback on that, at the beginning of hurricane season, June of this year, we contacted each one of those facilities, and we found out what their plans are. What we found out is helped us that some of them had the same carriers, so we had to educate them and had a different carrier to move those people out. Mm-hmm. The same thing like Chief Richard, everyone who left did a great job, and the people that were here, we were notified. So it wasn't an issue with that population.
And did those plans work as written, most of those plans?
Yes, sir, they did. We didn't have anything from them because they worked really great. Yes, sir.
And what about afterwards, the older folks who aren't in a retirement community that doesn't have a plan, just individuals in their neighborhoods?
We have not had any calls with any kind of direct assistance from us.
Okay.
So just assuming we didn't have any issues, I'm pretty sure if we had, we would have been notified.
Okay.
But that was not the case with us.
Okay. Sounds good. Eric, anything else?
No, sir. Just thank you. It goes without saying. You've been very appreciative of us with the kind comments, but you all, sir, members of the committee, council members, mayor, very supportive, involved, helping us every step of the way. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you all. I think it would be appropriate that us all just applaud ourselves.
Let's see if we never have a three or four, but we will keep an eye on this thing about having a lay-down yard. I guess if we had a really catastrophic event, there would be other things. And then we have fields, we have parks that we all remember after Hugo, debris went where it had to go. That's certainly not a palatable option, but I mean, it does exist. Is there anything else for the good of the committee? If not, we stand adjourned.
Thanks, sir. Good job.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.